Welcome to the Long Two. That's right, the Long Two. If you've been following this channel for a while, you know that this podcast used to be called The Couch. It is now called the Long Two, Max. It has been 4 months. We've done a lot of planning. We've done rebranding. We've been planning content. We've been getting ready for this exciting new NBA season. We have lots to talk about. This is a episode one. This is a pilot, Max. How are we feeling?
I'm feeling great, but I think you're probably feeling a whole lot better because you have a big announcement here that we can't wait to talk about on the pod here. So why don't you go first and let the world know what's been going on in your life recently?
Sure. So if you read the title of this video, you already know, but I signed a partnership agreement with the NBA to join their NBA Playmakers program, which has been around for a while. You may have heard of it, but it's been kind of retinkered and redone. And it's basically all new. So I am very excited. Could not be happier about it. What does that mean? What does that mean for the content? What does that mean for you guys? I would say, first of all, not a whole lot for you guys. But for me, it means a lot easier life in terms of content creation. I have access now to all of the NBA's footage, every clip, every game, every highlight, every non-highlight, every whatever you want to see. I can, you know, if I wake up one day and I want to watch all of Asar Thompson's floaters from the month of January, I can do that, which I think is pretty cool. So in terms of, you know, what it's going to look like on my day-to-day basis, my life is just going to be a lot easier in terms of how I edit videos, how I film videos. The clips are going to be crystal clear. If you look at videos that I've posted recently versus videos that I posted maybe 3 or 4 months ago, you can see a big difference in the quality of the clips and the videos, at least I hope. But on top of that, I think there's going to be a lot of collaboration opportunities with the NBA, potentially on the NBA YouTube channel, potentially on, you know, TikTok, on Instagram, on all platforms. So it is a partnership. We're working together. We're going to try and create content that goes out on both channels to try and help this channel grow, right? And I, you know, this doesn't happen without you guys watching. If you guys don't know, I, over the past year, have been grinding on TikTok on short form content, up to 85,000 followers there. That's how the NBA found me and reached out. And now we're trying to grow the YouTube. So it is going to be a lot of fun. I think, you know, this is going to be a really big season. So I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the podcast itself, the only thing that's going to change is the content overall is going to get better. Our consistency will be better as well. I know it's been a weird, tumultuous few years for both Jordan and I. I think me personally, in my personal life, I moved like 6 times during the podcast, so it was hard to stay consistent. And now that I'm in a solid place and I'm in one area, I can consistently upload on time with Jordan. And we're just the overall, this partnership as a whole, one, it's been a long time coming because Jordan, you've been awesome at what you do and the content that you're putting out, and people really like it. And two, the fans have been with us for a very long time, or if you're newer, you've been supporting Jordan really thoroughly and in a positive way, which is awesome. So for us, in terms of the podcast itself, all this really means is that we are now in a position where we can really be consistent and actually deliver good content. We have more of a direction than we did before, and I'm really excited to get started. So that's enough of us just talking about ourselves the whole time. Let's get into what we actually want to talk about, which is this action-packed episode, because this is going to be an insane NBA season, Jordan. I can't wait to get into it. So just a little agenda for this episode, so that way you kind of can follow along. What we're going to do is we are going to cover the over-unders, as well as some bets that we took and some picks that we made, and just kind of talk about the season as a whole. And then at the end, and this is what I think I'm most excited for, Jordan and I decided that every year at the start of the NBA season, we are going to gift each other a jersey of a role player that the other one loved. So for example, I bought Jordan a jersey that I of a role player that I know he loves, and our only rules were that they have to be non-Celtics. They have to be they cannot be an all-star, right? Wait, what did we come to that? They couldn't be an all-star the year that we buy them.
So they could not have made the all-star team last season.
Exactly. And that's kind of it. And we like to buy, we're kind of liking to buy smaller, like guys that aren't as well known. My guy certainly does not fit that bill. My guy is pretty well known, but I have no idea what Jordan got.
I mean, for us, everybody's well known, but we're not trying to do the super obvious, like great role player, you know?
Yeah, it's not like Yeah, exactly. I was going to call LeBron a role player and I caught myself, Jordan. So don't even let me do that. But
I was
yeah, we're
not
not
gonna
going to
let that
buy each
slide.
other. We're not buying each other stars or anything crazy, but we are going to buy each other some fun jerseys here, and we're going to open it at the end of this episode. So if you want to hear a genuine reaction, stay tuned to the end of the episode. But other than that, let's get ripping on these NBA over-unders, because this is going to be a ridiculous NBA season, Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely. These over-unders were like challenging for me. I sat
Me too.
for just hours, like staring at stuff, flipping stuff back and forth, going through, flipping stuff back. So we're going to start in the Northwest Division. We're going to do the Western Conference first. The Oklahoma City Thunder have their line set at 62 and a half. The reigning champs, Max, you got over under.
Overlock. I'm locking it up. I think
I locked it too.
this is, yeah, this team, it's the highest lock we've ever done, I think, because we've done this for about 4 years now. And with this team, I don't really have anything to say. Like, they're almost so good it's boring to talk about, kind of, just because of their utter dominance. They really didn't add anybody except for, of course, Thomas Sorber, a big that you and I both loved coming into the draft. Of course, he falls to OKC and they're able to bring him in. Other than that, they're going to add Brooks Barnhizer, another rookie who we liked as well in the second round. I'm not sure if he'll even really play. And then the original, their Topic. Nikola Topic, their pick from last year, he was injured. He just got surgery on his
Crazy
balls.
surgery.
He's got some crazy surgery. Been there, brother. And he is not going to be playing for a little bit, but he should play for them eventually down the line. And really, the only person they lost was Dylan Jones, who, I mean, to us, we did like Dylan Jones, but it's not a big loss at all. This team just gets a year better, and hopefully, Chet plays a full season, no one gets injured, and I don't see how this team doesn't go over 62 and a half.
I agree. I literally think they could win 70 games. They won 68 games last year, and they're just gonna get better this season, you would think, with Chet hopefully playing more games than last season. Kind of a freak accident, but Chet and J-Dub both are like in for a big leap. I know J-Dub made a big leap last season and was awesome. Chet, this is kind of the year for him where maybe he starts looking a little bit more polished with the handle, as a creator, as just like a dominant like third option as a scoring option. J-Dub obviously can still get better as well. And even Shea, like Shea just won the MVP and had one of the best guard seasons of all time. And I was like, nah, I think he can get a little better. Like he could become an even better 3-point shooter, an even better playmaker. So I just feel like everybody's arrow is pointing up on this team. At worst, the arrow's pointing sideways. So I don't see, outside of like crazy bad injury luck, how they go under this line. I know it's crazy high, 62 and a half, but 68 last season, and it felt like they sleptwalked to it. So yeah, I'm locking the over.
Absolutely. I mean, the team's a tank, and it's like, they didn't really make any moves, but they're somehow returning more depth than they had last year. So they can even withstand a few injuries. And this is the type of team where they're not an old beaten down champion. They're not like some of those older Spurs teams or those older Warriors teams that, had a lot of battle scars, and the regular season is tough for them. These are young guns that are ready to go, ready to rip. All these guys are actually just entering their prime. They're not even really in their prime yet, and they're fully the type of team that would be ready to have that mark on their back and have that that target on their back, if you will. And people are going to play up for these games. There's no doubt about that, but they're going to play up as well and match that energy. I have no qualms with that. So to me, I think this is a pretty obvious lock as well, and very scary. I messaged you on the side, and I wanted us to do tiers for the NBA championship. And to me, I broke it down in four tiers. How many tiers did you do?
I did four.
Okay. I did tier one, which is one of these teams will be in the finals and will win it. I did tier two, which is would be surprised if they won, but only slightly surprised. And then tier three, which was just would be surprised. And then tier four is no chance. The Thunder are one of the teams that are in tier one for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, it would
Okay.
be shocking if they weren't. But on to the next. The Denver Nuggets, who had a very busy offseason, they bring in Bruce Brown, Cam Johnson, Tim Hardaway Jr., Jonas Valanciunas. They lose MPJ, DeAndre Jordan, Russell Westbrook. Their line is set at 54 and a half. What do you got?
I have over 54 and a half. I'm not locking this because it is a high number. This was my favorite offseason all year. This team finally built around Jokic in a way that we liked. This is a team that you and I had been begging for for years now to build around your MVP and your superstar, and they finally did it. To me, this team has a lot better depth, and they can handle Jokic coming off of the floor. Last year, the team had a points per 100 possession differential of plus 21.3 when Jokic was on versus off the court. That's in the 100th percentile. That's the highest you can get.
Doesn't get better than
So
a
they
hundredth.
doesn't get better than 100th. So they desperately needed to get better around him. And this offseason, they made winning moves. They added veteran players. They added some guys that we know can fit around Jokic and that Jokic will make better. And they just got better depth. I think Cam Johnson to the Nuggets was one of my favorite moves of the offseason. You and I are very big Cam Johnson nerds. I think he is a generational like mind for the game. I definitely think he's going to go into coaching after he's done. And Jokic is another like absolute basketball nerd, and I can't wait to see what him and Cam Johnson do together on the basketball floor, especially because he is in a lot of ways a better version of Michael Porter Jr. efficiency wise. I think Michael Porter Jr. is a better shooter overall, just in terms of he's an elite shot maker, but Cam Johnson is a better processor. He's going to be able to facilitate better than Michael Porter Jr. He might not rebound quite as well as Michael Porter Jr., but I can trust him on the defensive side of the floor better than I can trust Michael Porter Jr. And then Jonas Valanciunas to me was a massive addition to this team because this allows for someone to come in and give 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes a game where Jokic doesn't need to be on the floor and he can just sit and catch his breath a little bit and they're not totally out of the water there. Like they're not totally above their heads and dying. And then Bruce Brown and Tim Hardaway Jr. Bruce Brown obviously won a championship with Jokic and has that chemistry with him. And that's when Bruce Brown looked best in his career. As soon as he took that money from, I believe it was Indiana, he disappeared. He went to Toronto. He went to New Orleans. Now he's back. He's back to where he made his money originally. Can't wait to see what they get out of him. And then Tim Hardaway Jr., we really liked him last year on Detroit.
Yeah, he was
I
awesome.
think he will get something from him. He's one of those guys that's just going to be made better by Jokic. And then you lost Dario Saric, who didn't play and didn't contribute anything. And then Michael Porter Jr. And I thought that was a better trade for Cam Johnson. So I
And
know I
Russ,
took
you
a
didn't
lot of the
mention
meat off the
Russ.
boat. I didn't mention Russ. You're right. I forgot about that. They did lose Russ, which does I'll let you go on that one. Go ahead.
I thought Russ actually had some really good moments last year, but this is an
Yeah.
over for me. This is an absolute lock. 54 and a half. I'll just spoil everything right now. If you ask me today, Jordan, who is going to win the championship, my pick is the Denver Nuggets. I know how good OKC is. I know how good teams like Cleveland are. The Knicks have a shot this year. Denver is the one that I look at and I say that is the roster that is built to go all the way, more than all these other ones. Now, in terms of the regular season, that's a different kind of story. And that's why this line is 54 and a half. But I think they had two problems last year, right? Two really big problems where it was just general depth, and second, just the backup center minutes, the non-Jokic minutes, as has been the problem for years. But I think they fixed both of those completely and beautifully and absolutely, like no questions, beautifully done off-season. I actually think the non-Jokic minutes are going to be fun. I don't know how, amazing the team is going to be, but I do think the upgrade from JoVal from DeAndre Jordan is as big as a backup center upgrade can get, basically. I think, it's cool to get a guy that's like a similar play style to Jokic. Obviously, comparing anyone to Jokic is crazy, but like having another huge, massive human being who knows how to pass the ball, who's a monster in the post, you can just dump it down to JoVal and say, hey, go score on that guy who's 50 pounds lighter than you. Just throw him out of the way and dunk for, three possessions in a row. And you can run what the Nuggets run, which is, those high post splits with guys screening for each other and Jokic passing out of the elbow area. JoVal can do that too. We saw a little bit of it in the preseason and people freaked out about it. Maybe I'm freaking out about it, but I think those minutes are going to be really fun. How does JoVal look in the playoffs? I don't know. I think a lot better than DeAndre Jordan, but this is a regular season bet. So, and then yeah, the thing you mentioned about Cam Johnson, like he's an awesome off-ball mover. He's a great cutter. He's going to fit in seamlessly. It's not going to take any time. It's going to be perfect. I'm going to love seeing him in this system working off the bigs, whether it's Jokic or JoVal, screening and cutting and moving and all that stuff.
Well, you know who else is in the West?
Yeah, who's
And you
that?
and I were texting about them last night. It's the Clippers. And I'm not spoiling anything, but we are going to get to them, obviously. But that big lineup that they run with Brook Lopez and, well, the bigs that they have in general, they have Zubats, Brook Lopez, and John Collins. That is going to be a lot easier to work with or work against when you have a guy like Joval. Could you imagine if they didn't have him on their team this year going up against that? I was thinking about that while we were watching the game. I was like, shit, they're going to destroy Jokic. And then obviously I was like, oh, well, they have Joval. Like, he can go in there. I don't know if you start him or if you have him coming off the bench, like whatever you need to do for a game against the Clippers like that. But he's going to be able to take those hits and take the brunt of that, because a night like that with Jokic, where it's those like three or four guys rotating in and out against him, is going to be a lot for him to handle. So having another guy there to take that is going to be nice.
He's just the perfect regular season innings eater. He's just
Yes.
like he's gonna like swing quarters and just have big stretches where you go, oh my God, he Joval just took over the game for 3 minutes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
And plus the two-man game with Jamal Murray that they can potentially unlock is going to be extremely fun to watch. So yeah, he was a great pickup. I know it seems like we might have talked a lot about Joval, but he's really that important to this team. And
It's not necessarily Joval specifically. It's that they've never had anybody like this to back up Jokic, which is really exciting.
Yes, and I have two bets that are related to actually three bets. No, sorry, two bets that are related to this pick. The first one is Coach of the Year. I got it at like +680. David Adelman,
I
the head
love it.
coach of the Nuggets. I think that is a really, really fun pick there. I think there's going to be some bigger names out there that are getting all of the shine. But I think Coach of the Year is going to be David Adelman, because he was awesome when he took over for Michael Malone last year. He took over at a weird time and he kind of turned this team around a little bit. And it was really bad vibes, but now they have the right direction, and he's obviously a really great basketball mind. And some of the things that he was doing, you and I would be texting about every night about how like ridiculous some of the things that he was
That
doing
zone
was.
was
So
incredible. The whole defensive
yes,
scheme against OKC was
absolutely.
absolutely awesome.
Yes. So definitely think that he is a great option to bet for Coach of the Year. And then I also took the Nuggets to win the championship this year.
What were those odds? Because I'm with it.
So we're recording from my phone, so I actually can't access the odds. I was just trying to like figure that out, and it's very frustrating. I don't know what I got them at,
Mean, they're probably
unfortunately.
second or third, right? They're probably second.
I think so. I think they're second.
All right, let's go to the next team. That is two teams, two overs, and two locks for me. The third team
Oh,
is
you locked that
Minnesota.
one.
I locked that. That is
Okay.
probably my favorite bet on the whole podcast.
Interesting.
Next we have the Minnesota Timberwolves. Their line is set at 48.5. Last season they were 49-33. They lost Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Josh Minot, Luka Garza. They bring in Yoan Barrenjay. I think that's how you say it. Max, over or under?
So this one I struggled with a
Me
lot.
too.
They're largely returning the same team, but I left on I lean under 49.5. And for me, it was almost like tie goes to the runner in the West, where this Western Conference is going to be ridiculous this year. And if I didn't know what to pick, I just kind of leaned under. And for me, the biggest thing was the loss of Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I'm not entirely sure how they're going to make it up. They largely were running it back this year. But what happens if 38-year-old Mike Conley breaks down? That's kind of what you're relying on. That's not really the best thing. And then he was the fifth best 3-point shooter from volume. So I cut out, there was like two other guys that shot better than him, but they played like 8 minutes a game, or even less, like 4 minutes a game. So I cut them out. And doing that, he was the fifth best 3-point shooter from volume on the T-Wolves last year on a team that attempted the fifth most threes and had the fourth highest 3-point percentage. I don't know if they effectively replaced his 3-point shooting. And I mean, they can look to fix this because they are bringing in, like, they have guys that they are expecting to kind of fill out that role and be better. Like, you're assuming Dante DiVincenzo is going to get it going and play better than he had. And they did make a ridiculously big trade to start the season. That Randall Cat trade was like right before training camp started, I believe, last year. So they don't they got a full year underneath them to kind of get their things going and figure everything out. And Ant has never played less than 70 games, but This is where it starts to ramp up and where we start to see injuries happen. And I'm a little worried about what happens if, say, Ant misses a few games, or Mike Conley, more likely, who's 38 years old, misses a few games. And like they have a lot of eggs in the Mike Conley basket, and that's why I was leaning under.
A lot
Plus,
of
I
eggs
see
in the
Flip
Rob
it.
Dillingham backup point guard basket, I feel like.
Yeah, but he's not like his facilitate. Like he's not a table setter like that per se.
Yeah, fair.
He can score at a clip, and he could definitely help fix the Na issue. But the Mike Conley facilitation aspect of things,
Yeah,
and then also the
so.
guarding. I mean, Mike Conley can't guard still, but Dillingham, as much
No,
as we love Rob
Conley can
Dillingham,
play defense a lot better than skinny
yes.
little Rob. I went over here. This was really close. I think this is really a bet on Anthony Edwards just being one of the best six or seven players on the planet. He's gotten better literally every year. People said he needed to shoot more threes. Last season, he was like, all right, I'll shoot more threes and
Yeah,
I'll
I'll shoot
be
all the threes.
amazing. I'll shoot, yeah, 11 threes a game on ridiculous efficiency, ridiculous pull-up efficiency. Now people are saying he needs an in-between game. All the stories coming out of Minnesota are he's looking like Michael Jordan and Kobe with these fadeaways. I saw one in preseason. I got really happy about it. That could be why I'm taking the over here. But I think that's actually a real thing. Like he did need an in-between game. There were a lot of times where he got caught in that, whatever, 6 to 18 foot range, and it doesn't look like he was super comfortable. Sometimes he's just challenging rim protectors at the rim. I think that development is actually going to be a real thing this year, and it's going to take him to a really, really high level as a scorer, even higher than he's already at. Also, we've made fun of Julius Randle on this podcast.
No, he's good now.
We both really liked him last year. Like we just something happened, something clicked for him, or maybe we were just wrong on him in the first place, right? Like he was really good. He was a really good facilitator. He was a great passer. And that's why like the point guard spot being weird, it is weird and it's not perfect by any means. It's not good, but I do think Ant and Julius will just have the ball a lot. I think Ant is the de facto point guard for this team and kind of has been. Conley's, playing off the ball a lot as it is. So even if stuff goes wrong there, like Anthony Edwards is going to have the ball in his hands. You can run a lot of stuff through Julius. So it's not like those two are dying for a point guard to come take touches away from them. I do worry a little bit about Dillingham. Like I love the guy on offense, honestly. Like I think he can score on anyone. When he has the ball in his
Yeah.
hands, I believe that he can score because he can just go by guys and he can shift guys and he can blow by and he can get to these like high floaters and high finishes off the glass. I think he should be shooting it a little bit better now, after a full year under his belt, but it's just the defensive end with him. Hopefully there's enough defense here to cover that up. So that's kind of my reasoning for taking them over. I mean, Ant and Julius are really a solid 1-2 punch as creators, and then the defense around them I think is enough to go over 48 and a half. But it's really a bet on it.
Yeah. And it's also just a lot of games. That was if they miss, I don't think it's going to be by much. That was really my thought process. Also, I realize I'm really dumb. I literally wrote down the odds. I listed the teams by odds to win the championship. So Denver's plus 490. That's what I got on that to win. And when we were talking about the tiers as well, Denver was the other team that was in the tier one for me of one of these teams will be in the finals and will win it.
Yeah, I agree.
So
Those were the only two teams I had in my top tier. I have a lot of respect for the other teams, but I think like if one of those two teams didn't win the championship, if they're fully healthy going into the playoffs, I would be really surprised if one of them doesn't win it.
me too. And then for tier two, the T-Wolves are in that tier where it's would be surprised if they won, but only slightly. And mostly my surprise would be that they just haven't done that before.
Yeah, fair. All right, let's go to the next team, the Portland Trail Blazers, set at 34 and a half. Last season, they were 36 and 46. They bring in Drew Holiday. They draft Young Hansen. They lose Anfernee Simons, Jabari Walker, among others, but those were the main guys from the rotation. We got some injuries here, unfortunately. Scoot tore his hamstring out for a month. Max, 34 and a half over under.
I've slight under. They last year, obviously they went 36-46. Last year they were 22nd in offensive rating, and then they lost 33.7 points per game from their team while adding very little of that back, in terms like with Simons and Ayton. I don't know who's gonna score the ball on this team. And then the other issue I have with them is like defensively, they're going to be awesome. They have ridiculous length, lineup flexibility. They can do a whole lot. I don't know how they're going to score. And then also, it was really unique because they used to have all of the centers in the league on their team at one point, and now they don't have that great of a center core. Like, it's Rob Will. And if you're telling me that I need to rely on Rob Will being healthy, as much as I love the guy, I'm just not going to do that. You have Duop Reath, who's not a bad player, but let's be real here, it's Duop Reath. And then Donovan Clingan, who's just really young and unproven. And then young Hansen, who like is really, really fun, but can we I don't know what we're getting out of him. And that's just a little scary. So those big lineup, like
I mean,
that's
I
a
love
lot.
Klingon. I think Klingon's going to be
I think
awesome.
Clingan's yeah, but he's also very young, and that's a lot to put on him in this loaded West. And this is a tough West. Like, I don't 34 and a half games. I mean, that's only two off from what they did last year when they played really, really well. I know Drew Holiday is like a great guy in theory. He also had a tough time guarding anyone last year, and like effectively guarding anyone last year, especially in the playoffs. And he's just at a point in his career now where he's probably going to help a contender out more than he helps this Portland team. And I don't know if he's going to even be on the team in a few, like by the end of the season. So to me, I think you lost a lot of your scoring and you did not make it up. And I just struggle to figure out who's going to score. Like, I know Shaden is good at scoring the basketball and everything like that. But I mean, come on now.
Yeah,
I'm going
and we
under.
like Denny too, but
Yeah,
I'm with
Denny's
you.
awesome.
I went under, and I was kind of surprised I went under because the whole offseason, I just really liked the Trailblazers, and I'm really excited to watch this team, and it's for all the reasons you said. Like, this defense is going to be unbelievable. That
Yeah.
starting five, Holiday, Sharp, Avdija, Kamara, Klingon. Nasty.
Insane.
Absolutely
Yeah, it's
nasty.
disgusting.
Shaden Sharp, maybe not a lockdown guy, but
But he's
everybody
so
else is like,
athletic.
yeah, he's super athletic, and everybody else can, like, outside of Klingon, you can switch one through four. You can like have Klingon protecting the rim and just eating up shots at the rim. They're going to be phenomenal on defense, even though we think Drew has regressed a little bit there, which obviously he has. He's getting older. But yeah, the offense gets really weird. Like, Denny is probably their lead creator. We love Denny. Not sure if he's ready to lead an elite offense in this West to a lot of wins. So slight under, but we love Portland.
They're building something really fun in Portland.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Next team, the last team in the Northwest, we have the Utah Jazz set at a measly 18 and a half. They won 17 last year, 17 and 65. They draft Walter Clayton Jr. and Ace Bailey. They bring in Yusuf Nurkic, George Niang, Kyle Anderson, Kevin Love. They lose John Collins, Jordan Clarkson, Johnny Juzang, Jaden Springer. What do you
And
got?
Colin Sick. Oh, you say Colin Sexton. I have an under 18 and a half lock, and I bet on it. I did a little parlay with two other teams that we're going to talk about later, which I got great odds on. I love this under, and I also love this team. I think this is one of my new young teams I'm going to adopt. I was sending you videos of them doing a burger cook-off with Will Hardy. I thought it was
That was a
awesome.
good
I think this
video.
team's going to be great. It was a great video. I think Ace is going to be incredible. We're all in on Ace on this podcast, but they're pretty terrible, but they're building something fun. They're just going to be really bad, I think. Like, one of the things that I've learned for the past few years of doing these over-under pods is that, yes, young guys are really fun on paper, but then when you actually have young guys playing in the NBA, they don't win a lot of basketball games. A lot of the teams that are actually winning, other than the outlier of like the freaking Thunder, is our older basketball teams, just because of how it doesn't matter how athletic and fun you are. Like, you have to have this mentality and this brain for the NBA to be successful. And a lot of those guys just haven't. They don't have the time and experience in the NBA to do that yet. And they're just really young. Also, like, kind of a who's playing point guard on this team, because I know, like, they're taking it back old school by using Collier as like this old school pass first quarterback point guard. You can't shoot for shit. He averaged like 8 point, like a little under 9 points and 6.3 assists on a true shooting of 49.4%, which was
Ooh.
16th on the team, so not good. He's your classic for pass first, just no shooting point guard. And I can't wait to see how he helps set the table for other guys like Ace, like Keyonte, like Lauri Markkanen, who I hope is not on this team by the end of the year. I'm praying that he's not on the team here. I love what they're getting from their young bigs, like Kessler, Filipowski, Lauri. And I just want them to trade Lauri, because I think they're really close to really bottoming out and getting a good pick here. I don't expect them to be good yet. They're just too young. Like, they do have some savvy vets, but I would be shocked if they're good.
They have very few savvy vets. I am under
Yeah.
as well. The thing that makes me kind of nervous about this is Lowry played 47 games last season, and they were very clearly like kind of keeping him out, being like, hey, we don't want to win games. If he plays more than that, like this is such a low number that could Lowry just take over a couple nights and push them to 20 wins? Like, yes, he could. Like,
But the Nets last year were supposed to be tanking and they were not tanking, and the Wiz had some portions where they were winning for a little bit, and I think the Jazz were like, okay, we don't need to like disgustingly tank as much as we usually are, because these other teams, the other awful teams are not fully tanking yet.
yeah, I guess so. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, they're just too young. I'm excited to watch Ace. I like Isaiah Collier. He touches the paint whenever he wants, really, but it's gonna be a rough watch. Like, there's gonna be a lot of bad shots. There's gonna be weird decisions. There's gonna be turnovers with his team. Same with Keontae. Like, he just hasn't totally gotten there yet. Maybe he does. Maybe this is the big breakout. I'm excited Taylor Hendricks is back.
Me
I'm
too. He
excited
looks
to watch
awesome.
Filipowski. Other than that, I don't think this team will be on my league pass very often.
Really? I kind of disagree. I think Ace is kind of must watch, and I love Taylor Hendricks. I think he's very watchable, as well as I don't know. There's a lot of young guys on here that
Ace
I
is
do like.
fun, but you're gonna see them get down 20 in the first quarter, and you're gonna be
True.
damn, is this worth waiting for Ace to come back in when
That's a good point. I think they're going to be watchable in the sense of when it's 10 o'clock and I'm fiending for something to like fall asleep and
yeah.
watch. That's probably what I'm going
That's
to throw on.
a better comp for the Jazz, I think. All
Yeah.
right, on to the Pacific Division. We are gonna start with the Los Angeles Lakers, who are set at 46.5. Last season, they won 50 games. They bring in DeAndre Ayton. They bring in Jake LaRavia, Marcus Smart. They draft Adu Thiro. They lost Dorian Finney-Smith. They lost Shake Milton and Jordan Goodwin. Let me know if I missed anyone because I missed people in the last two. What am I doing? 46.5 max over under.
Well, you're a Lakers. You're the resident Lakers fan, so why don't you go ahead and give us yours first?
I am not a resident Lakers fan,
Yes,
and
he is.
I will prove that to you by going under on the
Me too.
46.5. LeBron has this sciatica stuff, hopeful for early to mid-November. Who knows if that's going to be real, if he's actually going to come back. Like, I would not be surprised if LeBron in year 300 is like, yeah, I think I just want to take it easy and like really save myself and come back December or later, right? Like, and just leave it to Luka to like, hey, keep us in the top eight, top seven. We'll get a home play-in game and we'll win that, and then we'll go and get in the playoffs and go on a run. Like, I could see that happening. I think this defense is not going to be very good. Now, I don't think they're going to be straight up awful. I think bringing in DeAndre Ayton, I know you don't like him. He's an upgrade over Aaron
No,
Hayes
yeah.
in every imaginable way. I think Marcus Smart gives him something on defense. LaRavia is not a bad defender, but they don't have enough perimeter defense. They don't have somebody to guard opposing point guards and two guards and explosive wings. They're just gonna be giving up dribble penetration left and right. It reminds me of like what we saw with the Bucks for these past two seasons, where guys are just getting to the rim at will. Now, skinny Luka does a lot for me. Skinny Luka, he looks good, and he could just take over and win 48 games playing 1-on-5. And I am optimistic about seeing Ayton. I think the offense is gonna be good. The defense is just really incompetent, and the LeBron stuff scares me.
You don't think the Lakers are going to be that or like awful defensively? I do. I think they're going to be
I think they're going
insanely
to be like
bad.
20th.
I don't know. I they could literally be worse. First off, I can't believe you sat here and go, yeah, Marcus Smart could give you something defensively. Let's
I
be
think he
real
can.
here. Really? Did you watch him in Memphis? I don't know.
He wasn't hurt. I mean, he was
He's
hurt.
injured. It's his fault. Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, usually in your year 36 season, I don't know how old he actually is, but he's 31. Usually in your year 31 season, after having all those injuries that you have,
He's not that
your body
old.
gets a little bit. He's pretty old. He's like an old 31 too.
He is an old 31.
He
It's all
bled
the
like
diving on the
48.
floor in Boston
Yeah,
for us, dude.
he's bleeding 48 out of the 82 games a year. So I think like I don't know. It takes a toll on you. This team is going to be abysmal offensively. My dad has
Offensively.
sciatica. Or sorry, defensively. And my dad has sciatica, and granted, he is the LeBron James of being unathletic, but it is insane how uncomfortable he was. Like, we tried to drive to Tennessee, and he was like, couldn't even sit because of the sciatica.
Yeah,
So,
but LeBron getting dad injuries is not a good sign. Like,
yeah, I wasn't
I don't
saying it in
want
a
to hear that.
positive light. I was
No, I
telling you,
know. I know. I'm
it's not
agreeing.
good. Yeah,
It's
so
scary.
it is scary. I do love the Ayton pickup because, one, him and Luka are going to be really fun to watch together. And then two, I despise Jackson Hayes, and I think I hated.
Despise him.
Well, I despised him on this in the role that he was in as a starter on a
Definitely.
competent playoff championship
So did J.J.
wanting.
Redick, evidently, who did not
Yes.
play him a single minute in their closeout game in the second
Good,
half.
because he didn't deserve to see the floor on that. He was really bad, and he is much more suited to be coming off the bench as like a second or third option at the big. So love the Ayton pickup there, because at the very least he gives you rim protection and he's gonna get a lot of rebounds and maybe have like, I don't know, I could see him averaging like 14 and 11 or something. And
I think he could average even more points than that. I think he's gonna be really
yeah,
good
he's gonna have a lot
role with
of,
Luka. Yeah.
absolutely, yeah, he's gonna have a lot, he's gonna have a lot of the gifts of just playing with Luka that come from what he draws. And Luka, let's not get it twisted, skinny Luka is incredible. But also, Luka played Euro basketball or whatever that
Yeah.
championship thing was over the summer. And as fun and awesome as that is, we've seen the guys that play over the summer get hurt when they play regular season, because it's a lot of basketball on your body. So a guy that's never been in shape, in tip-top shape, you're gonna tell me that he went and played overseas and got into tip-top shape and then is not gonna get injured? I find that a little fishy. I will definitely be eating my words, and he'll probably win MVP.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm not saying a single bad thing about Luka.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to another old team, the Warriors at 47.5, won 48 games last year. They bring in our boy Al Horford. That was a heartbreaker, but saw it coming, so not too bad. They bring back the Anthony Melton, who hurt his knee. I think he tore his ACL, right, last season
Think
with
so,
them.
yeah.
And who they didn't lose anybody super significant.
Yes, they lost Kevon Looney.
Oh, good point. They did. Very good point.
Yes. They also brought in Will Richard, and they are the oldest projected starting lineup this year with an average age of 35.8.
Really old. Very
Really
old.
old. Very old. Not even like, oh, like on their they're on the older side, they're 32. It's like, oh no, they're almost
No, they're almost
40.
36. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the team. I think they're gonna be insane. I have this as an over. I did not lock it because of the age, but I have this as an over. The addition of Al Horford to this team, they just become so much more versatile and switchable defensively, versatile offensively, switchable defensively. I mean, they can now feasibly guard like everyone on the court of like
Yeah.
with switching. And that is really something. And I love the way this team is built, and adding Seth Curry as well, just someone that can give you some scoring off the bench. They figured it out with Kuminga for the most part here. And yeah, man, I'm just this is just a great team. They're gonna be really good.
I'm at an over as well, not a lock, but I love this team. I think I love them even more as like a playoff dark horse. I think they can really like pretty much beat anybody. This defense is going to be ridiculous. As soon as Jimmy got there, that was clear. But now they bring in Horford, like you mentioned, and the offense is going to be a lot better now as well. I love that Draymond doesn't have to play the five. Like their best lineup has Horford at the five and Draymond as the four. And those two are going to be so perfect together on both ends. Like they're both really good defenders. Draymond is obviously one of the best ever. Horford's super versatile, even at this age. And then on offense, like Draymond can't shoot, and having a five who can space the floor, you saw what that looked like with Quentin Post, but Post can't play defense. So now you get Horford who can do both. It's really a match made in heaven. And with Jimmy Butler, they were awesome. Like it was a weird part of the year. Yes, sometimes we trick ourselves in that part of the year, but they went 23-7, and honestly, they lost to Minnesota in the playoffs because Steph got hurt. Like I picked Golden State to win that series. I think they would have won that series. Obviously, old guys get hurt, so you can say that, but I think this is a smash over. There's some weird stuff with Kuminga. That's really the thing and the age.
But it seems like they might have figured that out, because they at least got him to a point where he is in a more stable situation. I don't get Kerr. Kerr is very like outwardly against him, which I think is kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, well, he doesn't like say anything. He just doesn't play him. I don't think
No,
that's a
he'll
thing.
say stuff in the media. I don't have the quotes off the top of my head, but I know he'll say stuff in the media. So it seems like they're on a better page though, because he got ejected the other night, and Kerr was positive about it. So we'll
Yeah.
see.
All right. On to the next. The LA Clippers, in the midst of scandal, have their line set at 47.5 after a 50-32 win season last year. They bring in a bunch of guys, Brook Lopez, Chris Paul, John Collins, Bradley Beal, and they lose Norm Powell, Ben Simmons, Amir Coffey, Patty Mills. No significant injuries at the moment. They are extremely deep, 11 deep, maybe even more than that. Max 47 and a half.
First off, they also lost Drew Eubanks and Amir Coffey.
I
So
said
gotta
coffee,
make
but
note.
good
Okay,
point with
apologies.
Eubanks.
Sorry, now it's just a game in my head where I'm like, what did he miss? Which one did he miss? They also brought in Ty Washington. Shout out, Kentucky. I hate Kentucky. I don't know why I shouted them out. And Yonick Conan Niedenhauser, who when they drafted him, he's that Penn State guy that they drafted in like the late first. And you and I were
Yeah, I think
like,
it's Yanich,
who?
or yeah, I don't
Yanich Conan Niederhauser. I don't know. He was the one that they drafted him,
drafted.
and you and I were like, "Oh my God, who even is that?"
Did he come out of the stands? Did he, or was he not there or
Yeah,
something?
him and Yang Hansen came out of the stands. But anyways, they're the oldest team in NBA history with an average age of 33 years and 2 months. And boy, do I like the over on this team because, granted, they were playing the Kings, who we'll get to later, but this team
And it was
looks,
preseason.
and it was preseason. But this team look is really fun. I love the depth they have. There is a little bit of a stink on this team with what's going on.
Definitely.
I don't even know how to cover it. I think it's been beat to death, so we're probably just not even gonna really get that much into it unless new stuff comes out. They are so deep. They're gonna be extremely hard to play. I think this team can actually win a lot of games, and they're kind of built for Kawhi to just not play that much sometimes. So they'll be just fine there. And where was I don't have the text in front of me, but some of those lineups they were running out last night were ridiculous. There was that
Yeah.
Dunn lineup.
Oh my God, the bench is loaded. The bench looks like a starting five. Like
Yeah.
it's a better five than the Jazz by far. Like
Oh yeah. Yes. It
they
is
are
half the Jazz team too. It's like
yeah.
John Collins,
They
guys that
took the
spent. I
Jazz,
think
yeah.
Chris Dunn was on the Jazz for a minute. Like.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm with you. This is an over. I didn't lock it. I don't know why. I really like it. Like I feel really good about this one. James Harden alone is a regular season wins machine. You can say whatever you want about him in the playoffs, but that guy produces year in and year out in the regular season. And you add a really good defense to that. You add really good depth and awesome coaching staff. I love all the adds. Like Chris Paul coming in and running the second unit with really competent like professional basketball players, Brook Lopez and John Collins. I love that dynamic, like Collins rolling and dragging a guy in, and now Brook's open in the corner, or Brook just straight up picking pops with Brook, with Collins in the dunker. Like there's a lot of stuff that they can go to now. Collins like might be in their best lineup. Collins might finish games for them alongside Zoo
Oh,
if he
yeah.
can shoot it well enough. So I'm extremely excited to watch this team. They are super old, but they have enough depth that it kind of doesn't really matter to me. So I'm over it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's the next team?
Kings are listed at 35 and a half. They went 40 and 42 last season. They bring in Dennis Schroeder. They bring in Drew Eubanks. They drafted Neat Clifford and Maxime Reyneau. They lose Jake LaRavia, Trey Lyles, Jay Crowder, and Markelle Fultz. 35 and a half over under.
They also brought in Russ.
Oh yeah, that's
And
true. I did this before they brought Russ.
under, lock it up. I would take this team, I think, under 22 games.
I locked it too. I
They
also
are
locked it.
a this defense. Can we talk about the defense for a while, Jordan?
We can talk about the
Oh.
offense, the defense, the coaching.
They
We can
are
talk
going to
about all of
be
it. It's not good.
they're going to be horrific. Yeah, first off, Doug Christie, we sure he's the best option out there. What are we doing? Defensively, what I know it's preseason. I know the Clippers might be good. What they were getting done to them defensively last night was ridiculous. I've never seen a game like that where there have been that many guys clueless and not even rotating. I think I forget who it was. I think it was like Zubats got Sabonis in the post. Not necessarily a matchup, a mismatch. Four guys crash and they quadruple team Zoo, who's a good passer too, like an elite passer. And I was just sitting there like, okay, what are we doing? And then the only good defender on the team is Keyon Ellis. Like legit, it's Keyon Ellis.
Yeah, Keegan just got paid, so that was good. He's a good defender
Yeah,
too.
but he's hurt, so that's good too.
Yeah, fair. They did pay
And
him
also,
weird.
no player, like, it's like no player team option. It's 5 straight years of the money.
That was
Like,
an
it's not
overpay.
even,
I like Egan. That
I
was too
like
much.
Egan too. I mean,
Yeah,
I know
more
with
than
the
Jabari.
cap
That
going
more than my
up.
boy Jabari hurt me. I was like, that can't. There's no way. More years too. An
But the
extra
thing that
year.
irked me was I don't understand the note not giving yourself an out by putting like a team option or something on there.
Yeah.
It's just 5 straight years of all that money. I
Also,
know
that
the.
preseason game, I know I just did a whole lot talking up Chris Paul. They made it look like it was Hornets Chris Paul. Like it was
It was,
like
yeah. He
he was
dis
frying them. It was
dissected
a
that
pickup
team.
game, dude. He dissected them. It's a great word. Every
They literally
pass,
like.
he was throwing lobs from like the logo to John Collins. He was like, he got an ISO, he got a switch on a big and just
So bad.
absolutely fried at the end of a shot clock. Like
I was like,
he
things were
must have
happening.
five
I'm just sitting
assists
there.
in the first
Oh, yeah.
3 minutes he checked in.
Things were happening. Like, I'm just sitting there going, is this an NBA team defensively? Like, what are they doing? Like, I've never seen. First off, Brook Lopez wide open. He hits 4 threes in a row. He's wide open. I forget who. I think it was Eubanks. Doesn't go out and close out. He
No,
goes out
Eubanks could not close to him. Yep. Pick and pop. Just
just.
one pick and pop wide open.
Yeah, with Lopez, who's notoriously slow, and Eubanks is he somehow he's all the way like underneath the basket somehow off, and like why are you in drop? I don't understand. Like it was just so bad. It was, and then their transition defense was abysmal. Their offense at one point was just I forget who the guard was. I think it was like Schroeder and Sabonis just literally running a 2-man pick and roll while everyone else was on, was overload on one
They
other
had
side, and it
24
was
points like midway through the second quarter.
yeah.
And not.
Sabonis missed 4 straight threes, and on the last one, he did it. He did an airball bank, which I've never seen before. He somehow did both at the same time. He airballed into a bank. I've never seen anything like it.
That's impressive stuff. Yeah. The offense will look better than it did last night. I have faith in that.
Yes.
The defense is not going to be good, though. And it just feels like. It feels like they're a team that is just in a bunch of close games and then never wins one. Like there's no way
Yeah.
that you can trust
Not even close.
at the end of games.
Yeah, it was really funny to me that they saw the lack of success of the Bulls and thought to myself, well, let's just replicate it with Sabonis and see if it can get worse. And then free my boy Nick Clifford. I know he's a rookie, but
Free him
already he's going to
before
be
he's played a
awesome.
single NBA
Yeah,
game.
free him before he gets that stink off of him, on him. I mean, he tried to dunk on Joval, or not Joval. He tried to dunk on Zubats the other night, last night. It was very funny. He got blocked. No, it was Lopez. He got blocked so hard, but it was very fun to watch. Nick Clifford is like, he dropped in the draft because he was old. He's gonna be awesome because he's old. I think like old players should get drafted better. I don't understand this bias towards them. And I think he's
Dalton
just gonna be really
Knecht
good.
would say otherwise.
Hey, like Dalton Knecht, Tennessee alum.
Fair.
Free my boy Dalton. Maybe the best Tennessee basketball player I've ever seen. But yes. So anyways, we've done way too much on the Kings. This team's horrible. I don't understand how Doug, I don't understand how they went through a year of Doug Christie and we're like, let's keep him.
Let's pay him. Yep. Just
Yeah.
paying the interim after 2 weeks, always a good move. All right. So we
Yeah.
both locked that under. Next up, we got the Phoenix Suns at 30 and a half, a low line here. Last season, they went 36 and 46. Very active offseason. Bring in Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green. They draft Kaman Malawach. They bring in Mark Williams, draft Rashear Fleming, Kobe Brea, who kind of looks like a little Devin Bookery, a little Devin Bookery with the jumper in the mid-range game. They lose a pretty good player, Kevin Durant. Don't know if you've heard of him. And they lose Brad Beal and Cody Martin. 30 and a
And
half.
Tyus Jones and
Tyus
Vasilij
Jones
Micic and
and
Mason Plumlee and Ty Washington.
Mason Plumlee. Ty Washington doesn't count. That's exactly what I was saying. Yes.
Jordan Ott as well, new coach.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
he's gonna be good. He's like a little under the
Any
radar. He's gonna be
disciple?
really good. Exactly. Brian Gregory is our new GM. He's somehow, I think James Jones got promoted somehow, which is ridiculous.
You earned it.
Sure, burn the franchise down and get promoted. Sure, president of ops. Sure, go ahead. No, I locked an over for them.
You locked an over. Wow.
I like this team a lot, and I think they're underrated. They were 27th in defensive rating last year. They were abysmal defensively, but they're addressing it. They're bringing in Dylan Brooks. They're bringing in Mark Williams. They're bringing in Kaman Malawach, who I know, I understand that he's going to be raw. He's been flashing already, and I think he's going to be a potential defensive anchor. And last year was the year from hell that this team just needed to reset. And I thought they effectively reset. They bring in some good players. This team makes way more sense than it did. And obviously he like Malawach could be a long-term project, but he's backed up by Osso Iguodoro and Nick Richards, who I like. And I think they're going to be pretty versatile, and I like this team. Like, I think they can get over like 32 wins. Last year was a year from hell. They got 36 wins. 32 wins would still be a really
They
bad
did
year
have
and
Kevin
isn't over.
Durant, to be fair.
Or 31 wins is a really bad year and it's over. Yes, they had Kevin Durant, but he also like that was it didn't matter. Like, they didn't have a depth, and like Kevin Durant's incredible. You need some depth around him. He can't do it all himself. I'm interested in what Jalen Green does on this team.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that too. I have a slight under here. This was one that I flipped back and forth a little bit, but eventually settled on under. I'm with you on the defense. Like, it should be way better. I was just trying to pull up what they finished last year. I think they had to be bottom five in defense.
Yeah, they're 27th in defensive rating.
27th. Thank you. That's what I thought. It looked like guys didn't want to be there last year. That was part of it. But the other part of it was they just didn't have the personnel. Their center play was abysmal. Now Mark Williams, Nick Richards, and Kaman Malawach, not world beaters at center, but certainly a whole lot better rotation there defensively in terms of rim protection than they had. I'm with you on Malawach. I think he's going to come in and contribute right away. I don't know what the offense is going to look like, but I do think the defense is going to be impactful. Offense is a big issue here. Like, I think they could be an average defense, and I think the offense is going to be bottom, at least bottom 15, probably worse than that, probably bottom 20.
But it's 31 games. 31 games gets you the over, right?
Yeah,
Because the
yeah.
number was 30 and a half.
Yeah, it's 30 and a half. It is going to be weird with Jalen Green. I just don't like, they don't have a real lead playmaker. Again, like we said the same thing with the Timberwolves, but it's like Ant's the point guard, he's the creator. Same with Booker. They had the 13th offensive rating last season with Durant. I think that's just going to plummet. Like, the defense should be average, but I think the offense is awful, awful, really bad. So I went under.
Fair.
All
Fair. I
right.
don't feel good about it. Oh, I do feel good about it because I locked it. I kind of think this team's gonna be fun. I think there's gonna be
Think
something
it'll
there.
be interesting. And I do think, like, the culture is going to be a lot better. The vibes are already a lot better. There's going to be an effort level that we did not see last year when everyone was like, okay, I don't, like, I have to turn my TV off because these guys aren't playing
I stopped
basketball.
watching them.
That's not going to be there this year. And that's going to be at least a nice change of pace. All right. To the Southwest Division, we have the Rockets set at 53 and a half. Last season, they went 52 and 20. They bring in Kevin Durant, Dorian Finney-Smith, Clint Capella. Who else do they bring in? Had to be more than that.
J.D. Davison,
Not
Celtics
really.
legend. Dorian Finney-Smith, you said, right? And Josh Okogie.
Okogie, there's who I was missing. They lose Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green, and unfortunately for the season, they lose Fred VanVleet to injury. Max over under.
They lost Cam Whitmore and Jock Landale as well. But sorry, I'm gonna stop doing that. That is probably very annoying for everyone.
No,
I have an.
it's actually just embarrassing that I don't have it. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
I have over 52 and a half. It's not a lock because that's a lot of wins,
It's
but this
53 and
team
a
is
half,
insane.
just
Sorry,
to let you
I meant to
know.
say 53 and a half. Yes,
Okay.
don't you try to do what I'm doing to you.
No. If that could have changed your bet, you never know.
No, I
I
had it
mean,
over 53 and a half. I last year they went 52 and 30, and they definitely got better this year. And the only real question I have with Houston, it's the Fred VanVleet injury is really, really bad for them. They do not have, like, who's their point guard? We don't really know. I'm interested in seeing how they remedy this because their lack of facilitation without him is going to potentially be an issue. It's a lot to ask of Amen Thompson and Reed Shepard to take that step towards that lead facilitator role. Do I think they can do it? I think they can, but that's a lot to ask. That being said, this team is insane. Maybe the most flexible, like, team in terms of what they can do with their lineups. The lineup flexibility that this team has is absolutely insane. They can do so many different things. They can go really big, and then go kind of
they can go
small.
even bigger than really big.
Yeah,
They
they
can
can
go
go even
absolutely
really
gigantic. They can start four
exactly.
centers. That, yeah.
They can, yeah, exactly. And because of that, and the addition of KD, because if you remember last year, one of the issues with the Rockets is that they could not score in the end of games to win basketball games, and they still went 52 and 30. Kevin Durant is one of the most clutch scorers in the game. So adding him in is going to really make a difference here. Excuse me, and I think it's an over for me.
Yeah, I started with this over and I had it as an over for like probably started this maybe 2 weeks ago, and I just changed this to an under
Wow, you're
a
Jordy
couple days
Rocket. I'm
ago.
surprised.
What?
You're Jordy Rockets. I'm surprised
Jordy
you're.
Rockets. I love this team. Like, I love. And I was watching their preseason game and I was like
Not that much.
fawning over Şengün and Jabari and Amen and all these guys. We were texting about it. It was one of those nights. 53 and a half is just a little bit too high for me. It's a big Reed Shepherd year. Big Reed Shepherd year. Lot on that guy's plate. He's got to make shots. He's got to make more shots and look more comfortable offensively than he did last year. I actually am pretty optimistic about him doing that. It's more about the defense. And Fred VanVleet doesn't get enough credit for this, but he is a very solid defender at the point guard position. He's can guard guys a lot bigger than him. He's strong, he's sturdy, he can stay in front of guys that are quicker than him. Reed has struggled on defense. That's why he didn't play last year, and it's going to be a struggle again. He's just going to have to survive. But I do think, like, even if he's playing like 25 minutes a game and he's like starting, but is he really starting? They can just do what you said and go to these crazy lineups with like a man at the point guard and just go huge, or maybe Aaron Holiday has to play a lot, right? But yeah, I think losing Fred really hurts them, and I think their offense is still like it's going to be a lot better. I love Şengün. I'm in on like a Şengün mini leap, and I love KD obviously for what he does for the spacing. But like the non-KD games, like KD's getting old. He's not going to play 82 games. Can tell you that right now. And I think it's going to be some really rough offensive nights. Yeah, it honestly, I love this team, but the fact that they can win 53 games and have this bet go under is it just feels too high to me.
Totally fair. Totally fair.
I do want to say the rebounding is going to be outrageous.
It's
Like,
going to be insane. And the
it's
nights that they
going to
can't score, the
be.
other team's going to score 82 points, and it doesn't really matter that they can't score. That's one thing.
Dude, they could shoot 40% from the field and still score like 120 points because they're just going to get rebounds and put them back in. It's
That's, yeah.
what they did last year. They can do it again at an even crazier rate. All right. Next, we have the Mavs at 41 and a half. Last season, they were 39 and 43. Max, you just tell us, dude, who'd they bring in and who'd they lose?
D'Lo, Klay Thompson, Cooper. This was the easiest one.
Clay? Clay was.
Sorry,
You
I read the
blew
starting
it.
lineup. Excuse me, I got excited. I meant to say Cooper Flagg, D'Lo, and Dennis Smith Jr. Read remix with the DSJ coming back. The key departures: Spencer Dinwiddie, he got waived by Charlotte today, which
Good
is
one.
kind of insane. Anyways, I went a lock over. I think this
Wow.
team is extremely undervalued, and I understand that I am betting on Anthony Davis to be healthy, and I understand that that is a tremendously bad bet. But this team is filled with versatility, and they are going to be another team that is a bitch defensively. They are extremely, extremely deep. I do worry about scoring, especially with Kyrie Burnt being out and Klay potentially taking a step back due to his age. But they are going to be relying. I think Cooper Flagg's going to be awesome. I'm just going to put that there. I think he's going to be so good right away. But what's nice about Cooper Flagg is he is one of those guys that's going to be impactful doing anything. If he doesn't have the scoring ability that night, he's just going to be insane at passing and defense and rebounding, all that stuff. He's going to be good right away. Obviously, we don't know exactly when Kyrie is coming back, but I think they can tread water here and be good right away with D'Lo, Klay, Flagg, AD, and Lively starting. And then obviously, you can have that can change depending on who they're playing, because that's a pretty big lineup anyways. But you still have PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Naji Marshall, Dante Exum, Max Christie, one of the Martins. I don't know if it's Caleb or Cody, and then
Caleb and Brandon Williams. I like Brandon Williams. He should
and
play.
Nemhart and the baby Nemhart there, who's gonna be he's gonna be really good. I think he's actually gonna get minutes. So this team is very deep. I
Dude.
know the scoring is gonna be an issue, but defensively they're extremely versatile and extremely good. And I think like this is kind of the spot where I actually kind of like D'Lo, because D'Lo is extremely frustrating when there are other mouths to feed. But when you are needing points, D'Lo is a guy that can definitely provide that for you. And I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah, a D-Lo compliment. That's good. That's good. I'm over.
Blech.
I'm not locking it. I am worried about it. Again, yeah, it's the AD thing, it's the offense. Like, I love Flagg. I'm with you. I think he's going to be able to be like a decent, like average to above average on ball creator, which is saying a lot for a rookie. And if he can just do that, he does everything else well enough that it's going to be a major impact. They do need a healthy AD to hit this line. Like, the offense is going to crumble when AD's not on the court. I really believe that. Coop, I just think there's still like the shooting could be rough. There's going to be nights where he just can't make a shot, and can't get by guys. Like, it's not going to be perfect, but I think this is probably the best front court in the league in terms of like the entire roster all the way throughout. You named them, but they are just huge. They're mean. They rebound. They defend. They're long. Like, they're athletic. They can go to a lot of lineups too, just like we said with the Rockets. So yeah, I am going over. Defense in the regular season is a really good bet. I think they're going to play hard every night. That's another really good bet. So we're going over. I like it.
Yes.
And we are moving on to the San Antonio Spurs, who are set at 44 and a half. Last season went 34 and 48. They bring in Dylan Harper, Carter Bryant, Luke Kornet, Kelly Olynyk. And hopefully we see a bit more of De'Aaron Fox. I think he only played six games with them last year, and they lost Chris Paul and Mamu and anybody else.
Malachi Branham and Blake Wesley.
Okay.
Yes, so Lindy Waters, Kelly Olynyk, Luke Kornet, Carter Bryant, Dylan Harper, all those guys are going to be really, really good for this team. I have an overlock. This is a bet on Wemby. I took Wemby to win MVP this year. I took Wemby to have a quadruple double at one point this year. I took Wemby to, there was one other one, something with his rebounds. It was getting a ridiculous amount of rebounds and assists. Or it was maybe getting a triple double with blocks and rebounds, something like that, and another thing.
That's a good one.
Yes, I took a lot of money on this, or on Wemby in particular. This is going to be, I believe, his breakout season. They are one of the best rebuilds in the NBA that I can remember. And
Wemby helps
the
that, to be fair.
Wemby does help that, but also what they, well, draft picks help that. And Carter Bryant, I think, is going to be a really great piece for them. Steph Castle obviously won Rookie of the Year last year. He has been awesome for them so far. Dylan Harper looks like a real guy. He is something that you need to keep an eye, like we need to keep an eye on
That guy
as
looks like
fans.
he's going to contribute and
He's
have a big
special.
year right now.
Yes, he is special, and that's almost okay because De'Aaron Fox then suddenly kind of becomes immovable if he doesn't fit the way that you thought he might, and then you can even get better, which is scary. I think this is the year that the team takes a leap and actually really become something different. Wemby, the strength that he added, the way that he's been moving around, moving guys around in the preseason so far, like he's had a couple of plays where he just looks like Shaq and then dunks standing, and that's
He also grew
like
somehow.
terrifying. Yeah, he grew somehow and then is hitting like ridiculous step back jumpers that he's like dribbling for a few seconds and doing like dribbling phrases, and then also in the same breath is bumping into someone, throwing him back 6 feet and then slamming, and it's
Dunking from,
terrifying.
yeah, from a foot inside the foul line. Like, it's
Absolutely. And then the double
incredible.
big lineup with Luke Kornet is terrifying
Oh, don't get me
and
started.
hurts so bad. It hurts so bad that we don't have Luke Kornet anymore.
The
I
fact
might.
that Wemby is running pick and rolls and Kornet is rolling, it's so pretty. And
Ridiculous.
Kornet's like a good passer on the short roll when guys pass,
Yeah.
he's just spraying out to guys who can't shoot, but it's fine because they're wide open.
Yep.
I want to go back to Dylan Harper. He looks a little foggy.
Yeah.
He looks a little like
Yes.
his older teammate, De'Aaron Fox. Just crazy. Like, we're not like super heavy like draft nerds. We do a little bit of it, but
We're no Ben Pfeiffer.
Harper's burst and
Yes.
athleticism has like shocked me. I thought he was like really good with the ball in his hands, good handle, good passer, like can finish, can get to the rim, but he's like blowing by guys, he's
Yeah.
jumping over guys to finish. And he looks super comfortable. Just I am really, really excited to see him. I think they're gonna like struggle to not have him on the floor. Like, they're gonna struggle to keep him, playing like rookie level minutes. Also, the big concern for this team that I hear, like on Twitter, on podcasts, on YouTube videos, everybody says they can't shoot. And I get that when you look at the three guards, everyone's talking about the three guard problem. I know this is like a weird, like nerdy thing to bring up, but Julian Champagne is going to play a lot, and that guy shoots the lights out. And when you go to lineups
Yes.
like Champagne, Vassell, Barnes, Wemby, all those guys can shoot. That's a really good 2 through 5 spacing group. So having just one point guard who's not an awesome knockdown shooter, but is a good player in Castle, Fox, or Dylan Harper is going to be totally fine to me. And also, the point guards aren't like total non-shooters. If you leave those guys open, they can knock down shots. It's just they're not going to go and hit like step backs and pull-ups all the time, sure. But there's enough spacing here that I think they get by. And there's not like when you looked at like the Rockets last season, right? There are non-shooters littered across that teams. Şengün didn't shoot threes. Adams didn't shoot threes. Amen was left alone, right? Guys like that. Their only true non-shooters on this Spurs team are Sochan and Cornette. So I'm not super concerned about the shooting. The guards, like I said, they're not super efficient, but they have to be guarded. And yeah, that's my little nerd spiel. Other than that, yeah, Wemby's gonna absolutely dominate and win 50 games by himself.
Carter Bryant can shoot too. He's got
That's what I'm
like
saying.
he has, it's not like
Theoretically,
a
he can
lights
shoot.
out.
Who knows if he's gonna actually translate, but
Like his effective field goal percentage, like, wasn't like blow you away.
I think he
It
was
was
37% from three, though, in college on Bud Foster.
37.1, and he shot a 61% true shooting percentage, which is like good. So like he can shoot, and that's something, because I think he needs to find minutes on this team. I actually he's incredible, and like on any other team I would love him, but I actually almost worry about him not getting minutes sometimes, because of how deep this team is.
I
Like,
agree.
I'm a little worried with Steph Castle and Dylan Harper and Carter. Like, I want all three of those guys to play all the time.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. I think Carter Bryant could be like a 15-minute a game guy who just comes in and wrecks the game on defense, and that's it. Which would be totally fine. So I am with you with the over. I'm not gonna lock it though. Next team we have the Grizzlies at 40.5. Last season they were 48-34. They bring in Ty Jerome, Jock Landale, KCP. They draft Cedric Coward. They lose Desmond Bane in a big trade, Jae Huff and Luke Kennard. Injuries, Jaw is week to week. Jaren had some turf toe thing, but he played last night or the night before. Zach Edey, though, could be out for months, which could be
6 to 9 weeks. Brandon Clark is out with knee surgery. Scottie Pippen Jr. also has has a toe injury, which is kind of weird. Jaw has an ankle sprain, but he's been
He hasn't a
playing-ish.
plan, but I'm assuming he'll be okay. It's just an ankle.
They also lost Cole Anthony too. Well, they had him for like a minute and then lost him. But yeah, like for me, I went under, and it's such a low number. It was kind of hard to go under. This is going to be a huge year for them, because this is the year where it's like, all right, something really needs to happen, or we need to think about splitting this core up here. I just don't think they're going to be that good. Jaren Jackson Jr. is really good. He took a pretty big step last year. I think he's awesome. He plays like he's missed 174 games in his career, but he rarely misses more than like, or he rarely has played less than like 60 or 70 games. Jaw has never played more than 67 games in his career. And if you're betting on that, like, I don't know if that gets any better. He's already kind of dinged up. This team's already dinged up. And they replaced Bane with guys that we like. We like Ty Jerome. We like Cedric Coward. We love Cedric Coward. But KCP was a ghost last year in Orlando. And maybe that was just situationally, but I can't imagine that that just completely flips on its head. Maybe it does, but I would be kind of surprised if he came back and was like that good for them. And to me, that like this lineup, this starting lineup, I really have questions about. Right now, it's Ja Morant, KCP, Jalen Wells, Triple J, and Santi. I like Santi a little bit. I don't know if I love
Yeah, I
him
think
starting at the
Landale will
five there.
start. I think that depth chart is off, but yeah, again,
But
either
even
way.
that, I don't love Landale. I would honestly maybe prefer Santi starting over Landale, I guess. I don't know. And then off the bench, like Ty Jerome is obviously really a really great spark plug, good option. Cedric Coward, as we mentioned, Vince Williams, Jock Landale, GG Jackson, Scottie Pippen Jr., and then Edie, who's out for a while, and Brandon Clark, who's out for a while. It gets pretty gamey pretty quick if your next five guys are the guys that I just listed. They're just not nearly as deep in a very deep West. And I could be wrong, but I don't see it. And it would mean they go under 500, which is a lot to say.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is a tough one to go under on. I went under. It's such a low number. Like, there's too much talent here to be like, oh, this is obviously an under. They're not going to win 41 games. I could easily see them winning 41 games, but it's one of those things where it's like, the West is so good that some of these teams just have to like eat it, and they just have to take the brunt of this conference and go under. And I think it's going to be this team. There is like last year had the weird coaching carousel, firing Taylor Jenkins right before the playoffs. They implemented a whole new system that whole season, and the players didn't like it. It was more than just Ja, by the way. It seemed like a lot of the players were like uncomfortable with it. And even though statistically that system actually worked pretty well, the players were like, we don't like this. And it just led to some turmoil, and the whole coaching situation was a mess. So maybe that's better this season, but also it's Tuomas Iisalo, who we don't know anything about. I'm with you. It's just not a deep enough team, not enough talent here to take the over. Even though it's such a low number. I think if you guaranteed me Ja Morant to play 60 plus games, I'd probably take it, but
Yeah. I
can't
mean
guarantee
that
anything like
changes
that.
a lot, but you can't guarantee that, you know.
All right. The last team in the West, the New Orleans Pelicans, have a line set at 30 and a half. Last season, they were 21 and 61. They bring in Kevon Looney. They draft Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen. They bring in Jordan Poole, and they also bring in a skinny Zion. So that should be good.
They do
Who'd
bring
they
in skinny
lose?
Zion.
Anybody?
Let's see here. They lost Bruce Brown, CJ McCollum, and Kelly Olynyk.
Okay. Over or under?
Over. I like this team a lot. They're very weird. And Kevon Looney, who ne historically never gets hurt, immediately gets hurt as soon as he goes to New Orleans. So clearly there is something awful with that health and wellness staff over there. And I know it's a catch-22 for me to go and say, yeah, I don't believe in Ja to be healthy and play over this many games, but I do believe in Zion to do that. Like that is just not right. But that's what I'm going to say. I think skinny Zion, like, I don't know. I
Looks
think
good,
there's
dude.
something to this. He looks good. He looks awesome. And they're going to rely heavily on point Zion. So he really needs to stay healthy here. But I'm here for it. I'm ready to be hurt by him again.
To be fair, I think the Memphis line, it's 10
It's
games
way
higher.
higher. Yeah, 10
And I
games higher.
think the
That's
talent
yes.
level is not that much different. So like if you like say Zion and Ja average out, like I think the rest of the team is actually kind of close
I think the rest of the team is better on
for the Pels.
New Orleans. Yeah. And I have this as a lock for me. Starters are Jordan Poole, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Zion, Yves Mesi, Jeremiah Fears, Hawkins, Sadiq Bey, Jose Alvarado, and then Derek Queen, who's dealing with a wrist thing, and Kevon Looney, who's dealing with a knee thing. I think it's close, but I do think the Pelicans are slightly better. Like, I guess I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's I don't know.
Well,
It's
it
actually
doesn't
kind of
matter. As long as it's close, like you take the team that's 10 games
yeah.
lower with the line.
That's a good point. That is a very good point. But yeah, this team defensively is going to be really versatile. I mean, with Murphy and Jones and Misi, like that is those guys are going to be very lengthy, very switchable, and that's going to be interesting to see how that works. And then Poole did this in Washington, but not to this extent, and he obviously was more shoot first, but seeing him in this role, I don't know if I love that role that for him, but I am interested in seeing what he does with it. Jeremiah Fears is a fucking dog. He's special. You can see that right away with him. And then Derek Queen, I think, was a horrible trade, but a really fun pick.
Yeah, I'm not quite with you on the defense. Like, I think their defense is going to be pretty bad. Outside of Trey Murphy and Herb Jones, there's just not a lot
Well,
there.
Misi's good.
I don't know. He had a rough season. He's super athletic and toolsy, but I don't know if he's
Yeah, he's not like an anchor yet.
NBA ready yet. They also have really just bad guard defenders, just like we mentioned with
Yeah, the
the
yeah.
Lakers. Jordan Poole, Jeremiah Fears, Jordan Hawkins. That's not going to go
That's
too
not
well.
good. Yeah, but
But
if you
they
put
do
an
have Herb
Alvarado in
Jones, who
there.
is basically like adding, I don't know, Superman to a defense. So
Yeah.
he's gonna hopefully have a healthy season and be good. I went over as well. This line is just ridiculously low for the
Yes.
amount of talent that's on this roster. Skinny Zion maybe gives you some hope on defense. Like Zion hasn't been an awesome defender throughout his career, but we know that a guy that moves like him and jumps like him can be good on defense if he actually locks in. And if this is actually the year that we get Skinny Zion fully locked in, like what if he comes out and he's just all of a sudden really good on defense? That is a real possibility because of how freakishly athletic Zion is. But yeah, the 21 win season last year has to just stick in all of their mouths. Like, there's no way that this team could possibly be 21 wins bad. So I'm going
Yeah.
over.
I locked it, but also they have to win. They gave up that
Yeah,
pick. Like they have to
that's a
not look
great
like
point.
dumb. And I think Willie Green's coaching for his job potentially. Like that's
Probably.
very in play. So they gotta win games. Like this is or this could be like a disaster. Like this could be a big transitional period for the Pelicans. Like we're talking like potentially losing the team. Like it's not even I'm not even like I don't think that's kind of a I don't even think that's that much of an o like an overstatement because if you think about it, if they are abysmal and they have to trade Zion, there's already been talks about like the market in terms of like New Orleans as a market for NBA, like, and the
Yeah,
team
it's not
clearly
great.
the league clearly wants to expand, and New Orleans is kind of fishy. Like they're having a lot of trouble filling those seats, getting people to show up and care about the team. Like it could get really weird very quickly.
I hope the Derrick Queen murals bring enough people in.
True. It's good that he's already hurt. That is good. And he's already hurt on a team that is historic in how they mishandle injuries and ruin guys'
Yeah,
careers. So
that's a
that's really
very good
good.
point.
That's a good start for this.
All right, that wraps up the West. We are going to move to the East after just a short break.